It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Waiting on Andrew. Does he even know that we're doing this right now?
I don't know. I told him when we were going live.
Hopefully he got the email.
That's unbelievable.
We're actually on time for once, and he's not. That's the thing.
We're on time. So I want everyone to know that the reason why we're late.
We're always late
is
because of
him. It's because of
him. When he's not here, we're live on time.
Unbelievable.
Dirty Mo Live, folks.
Dirty Mo Live.
What's going on,
Welcome. That's not much, man. It's been a really fun week. A lot of stuff. There,
hey,
there he is.
I brought the scissors.
Did you run all the way here with scissors?
Yeah.
I don't want them.
You don't need them?
No, that's a weapon.
You needed scissors.
No. I did not say scissors. What do we need scissors for? It's not artsy.
We needed a clipboard, and you just decided to pick up
you
scissors.
You know, I did bring a clipboard, too.
There we go.
My
terribly
whole goal.
Dangerous.
Did you know it's a life goal of mine to run a mile with, or not a mile, a marathon with scissors?
Your life might end if you run a marathon with scissors.
Well.
All right, as tradition.
We'll have to find out. Yeah. Welcome to Dirty Mo Live.
That's what you call a cold open.
We already welcomed
him. I just saw Mike Davis upstairs, and he's like,
Who?
Aren't you about to go live? I'm like, crap. And he's like, don't suck. So
that's yeah,
too
encouraging words from our boss.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried, so we might not do too good.
You interrupted us right in the middle of talking about what's been going on this week.
Oh, yeah? So what has been going on this week? By the way, Andrew Curlin here. Dalton Greco, Travis Rockhold. Oh wait, and are we looking at this camera anymore?
Yeah, we can switch back.
We
and
are.
Forth.
Yeah,
we're
you can bounce around.
But it's
we're
that
going
camera.
Wide, and then this one might pick up. And that one might.
That's
pick
right.
Up,
it's been it's been a little bit since I've been here on the live.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to turn your chair a little. I feel like you're like. Do you feel awkward?
Are we gonna rearrange furniture live?
Are you good?
I feel good.
Okay. It seems like you're a little like.
James, do I look good? Is the chair in the right place?
Absolutely.
He says yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So what's been going on this week?
Well, why don't you start with your show? How was that, DBC?
Yes, that's right. Door Bumper Clear. It was an enjoyable one. We had Graham Smith on. I had a chance to chat with him a few weeks before coming on the show, and he was very excited. And man, he delivered. He had some, and you were sitting in on that taping. He had some great stories about sneaking into the Roval with Bubba Wallace to test the track for the first time. Bubba may or may not have tore some equipment up of his own. So that's a great story to listen to. But yeah, DBC was entertaining.
I really liked the story of how Freddie got across the track at Wilkesboro.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's the moonshine check.
Marcus told Graham to go and get keys to the moonshine check. That's not a bad problem
to
have.
Okay, I feel like
that was good. That was good.
I didn't wait. I opened mine up before.
Yeah. Well, sorry. How was Actions Detrimental?
It was good. Denny finishing second.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we might be able to get first loser, the bridesmaid. Some interesting things. We had the Austin Cindric news come down today that he's not suspended, and before we taped, Denny wanted to make sure and looked at the SMT data. It was my first time to see it, not just screenshots and stuff.
Live.
That was interesting. And then his take on the Stuart Haas penalty for Chase Briscoe and the counterfeit part. I thought, how could you have a counterfeit part? It's like you spend a $20 bill and they say it's counterfeit. And you're like, oh, I had it for quality control.
Right.
I figured, how could you have it? Denny has a reason why a shop would have counterfeit parts. And so that might be the reason why why it happened and the penalty wasn't even as severe as it could have been.
Right.
So it'll be interesting for people to go
very
take a listen.
Yeah.
It was. I really liked that part of the podcast for sure. It was awesome.
So the Cindric penalty, or not the Cindric penalty, there was nothing. Is that the right call?
Why don't you go first on that, Travis?
I don't know, because in my, you know, I've seen the SMT data once, and so I feel like I'm an expert now. He did go left a little. Austin Dillon looked like he went a little right a little. I think it's okay to not, but there was some driving, so I could see where Austin might have been offended. And so if you add that into the equation, maybe. I think overall it's probably good. Though, putting yourself in that position a week after NASCAR handed down a suspension is kind of a gutsy play.
Yeah.
Right.
I definitely think it was, it was hard racing. I don't think that there was zero intent. I think that they meant to kind of get into each other. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a call this week and said, hey, boys, settle down.
So let me ask you this, though. Nothing,
but think about it.
It was a harder crash for Austin Dillon. Do you think the punt there would have been a punishment possibly?
No.
Because that's the one thing that...
Because
Ricky helped
what
save...
what was evaluated wasn't the severity of the crash.
But
it was...
We don't know exactly what...
The incident that led up to it.
Right.
I feel like that's what you would look at.
Sometimes you see what happens afterwards and that influences.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case with Denny. Like, when I saw that happen with him, I was like, holy cow, that was a hard lick. And, I mean, it definitely turned out to be. And there was so much more obvious intent in the... If you want to call it that, with what happened with Chase, but... I just really think that this was just, you know, two guys kind of beating and banging, and one guy got the worst end of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that he needed to be suspended. I do think that, you know, you give him a phone call and you say, chill out.
And I think it's a good thing that NASCAR, you know, you get 2 weeks in a row, someone's at the care center calling out the suspension of another driver.
Right.
And it was Denny Hamlin the first week on Chase Elliott. And then the second week, Austin Dillon on Austin Cindric. And I feel like it was an important call for NASCAR to set the line in the sand. Because if they ended up suspending Austin Cindric for this, in my opinion, I don't think he should have been suspended for it. And I think NASCAR made the right call on this one. I think they made the right call the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting is Austin Dillon after he had his interview and said he should be suspended, didn't go and put out any SMT data or anything.
No. He could have.
He had his interview where he was heated and said that, but then nothing afterwards. So I'm curious if after he saw it, maybe he was like, all right, I'm not going to push
heat in the moment.
I'm not going to push any further. I'm not going to retract my statement, but I'm also not going to go any further with it. We didn't see any public data until after the fact.
Denny definitely had a much more clear case.
Right.
Yes. You know, the data I feel like was there. And just visually, I mean, I saw a replay of the Austin Dillon, Austin Cindric incident. You could go either way saying, man, Austin Dillon turned up into him, or Austin Cindric, yeah, he may have turned down, but Austin Dillon may have also come up. So I think it is too black and white of a call in this instance to be able to, you know, hand down a big punishment like a suspension. I think we're all in agreement, though.
Bigger question, are you a data or data guy?
I think I'm a data guy.
I'm a data guy.
I'm a data guy.
Interesting.
My favorite part of this whole thing was just yesterday and how, you know, social media just blew up with all of this. And
it's perfect for NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. And yesterday there were some people kind of going back and forth at Denny or even on our post, you know, saying that, which I typed. So if you have an issue with the way that it was positioned, that's something that I yelled at me. But I said, should Austin Cindric get suspended like Chase Elliott was? And a lot of people were saying, oh, Denny's now the sheriff of NASCAR. He's going around, whatever. And then he posts a video of Dale Earnhardt, the guy on this shirt, going, getting tangled up with Ricky Rudd at Wilkesboro. And they interview him right afterwards and go, that guy should be parked for the rest of the year. And so he was like, you guys love the guy, you know, number three, but you guys hate when I do it, but you like when he does it. So I thought that was interesting. Speaking of number three, Earnhardt, Joe Mattis, Business and Motorsports this week. Joe Mattis was integral, if not the foundational part of the merchandise side of Dale Earnhardt. I mean, again, this shirt probably came. I wouldn't have this shirt if it wasn't for Joe Mattis. So
how much
I would have to be shirtless if I didn't have it. I'd just be here shirtless. I paid $45.
Okay, that's not bad.
Shirt.
What's the most you'd pay for a T-shirt?
I think that's probably
$45.
I've paid $100.
$100.
Yeah. There's no way
for
a
T-shirt.
I can't.
It's the original Reels and Wheels Dale Earnhardt shirt.
I will say, NASCAR memorabilia, the T-shirts. especially the throwback. They're the best, and like, you know, I'd like to get some, but they're expensive, and I understand why though. In a way,
it's my vice. Like I have a problem.
Have you seen the new Abercrombie?
I have
shirts.
Yeah, I mean they look good. I give them credit for trying to hop. I don't think I'll buy one, but they look good.
Yeah, they look cool.
Speaking of shirts, above your shoulder
we
there,
we do have some merch here.
Merch.
Yes, the Action's Detrimental shirt is brand new. Isn't it?
Yep. And we got a sweatshirt that's black too in the shop here.
The material is very comfy.
Oh,
it would be a great.
It's a tri-blend, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It'd be a great shirt for anything. You know, if you want to wear it around the house, if you want to wear it out, it's cool, calm, comfortable.
Yeah.
All those words that start with C.
Let's say we get to the main event here.
Let's
do it, man. Live. We're trying to come up with creative segment ideas for this live show, and we just happened to be kind of browsing on YouTube today, and we came across a Jimmy Fallon, the hashtags video that he does in the Tonight Show. We're like, hey, that would be fun to do a racing-themed version of this. You guys are both in your phones. You don't care? You're not paying attention?
No, we don't. When you talk.
I was checking the chat.
And so we're like, all right, let's give this a shot. What's the funniest interaction you, the fans, have had with any NASCAR driver out there? And we got a lot of good
More than I thought we were going to get,
yeah.
Honestly. And, you know, I was happily surprised with that. We had to pare it down, and I thought we were just going to have to use whatever we got.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we narrowed it down to 15. Maybe we'll get through all of them.
Yeah.
But these 15 are really good.
Yeah, I think so.
So.
Why don't you start us off?
Kick it off. All right. I'll call the shots here. let's pull tweet one up on the screen for the viewers to be able to take a look at. All right. So this is Chuck Ritchie 51 walking in Walmart in Mooresville and seeing Tony Stewart in the toy section picking out board games. That's what do you think he was getting there?
I'm thinking Risk.
I was gonna go Candyland.
I was gonna go like I feel like Tony could be a Candyland, really. I feel like he could be a Monopoly guy, like the El Clasico, Monopoly.
Also, Cards Against Humanity. You know, the more adult drinking game.
That's true.
You know, last minute going to an adult drinking party.
Those drinking games, the card ones. Cards Against Humanity was like the OG,
right?
But now they've gotten to where it's like you either have to take a shot or you have to like call somebody or text somebody
There's
a message.
Versions,
and I'm like,
I'm not
like
trying to ruin
friendships
my life.
And stuff and get ruined, or I'm getting drunk, like. Yeah, these games are getting dangerous.
Yeah,
out
I mean,
there.
Do you take it personally when like you believe in a Cards Against Humanity card that you put in doesn't get picked?
100%.
Oh,
you don't like me if you don't like my answer for
even
Cards
Against
Humanity.
Even though it's supposed to be
unanimous.
Because in my mind, I had the best one, and I've been saving it for like the specific person.
Yep.
Have you guys seen the video on TikTok of the cat that picks the Cards Against Humanity and it turns it over? And it's always like the most awful thing, and the guy's like, "What are you doing?" Like, you know, it's so funny. That's hysterical. Whatever Tony's playing or getting, he's going to be competitive at. I don't think Tony Stewart's bad at anything. So if it was Candyland, he'd probably, you know, demolish.
That would be interesting, though, because, like, growing up, I didn't live in a town where there was a professional team or league or, you know, NASCAR. But, like, if you live in the Charlotte area, there's a chance that you're going to Walmart, the Harris Teeter, or whatever, and you're getting a carton of eggs, and there's, you know.
Yep.
Someone you know.
A NASCAR driver.
Growing up here, I've run into a few guys, and it's always interesting to see them out in the wild.
Yeah.
You forget that, like, they're normal people.
Yeah, just normal people. All right, moving on to the next one.
Let's pull tweet two up.
Tweet number two.
On the board. This one is from Valerie88.
Wow, so, you're not going to let Dalton read it?
Go for it.
No, it's fine. From Valerie88, she says, wasn't funny then, but find humor now. Myrtle Beach Speedway, 1999. My 8-year-old brother and I met Jeff Gordon. Took a picture and got back to the camper to find no film in the camera. Those were the days of film. Sign of the times.
Dang.
Rough.
Do you imagine?
It's rough.
I can't say I've...
Have you even ever taken a photo with...
Film?
Film?
Yeah.
I know you have.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then you have to go take it to, like, the CVS and get it developed, and you go back, like, a day
later
to pick
it up. Oh, I've taken
one
of those.
Yeah, that's film.
Does that count?
A disposable.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually cashed in on them, though. I think I just took the picture and never brought it to the CVS.
They're disposable. You just throw them away afterwards.
You
don't ever get
the
pictures.
I think that's from a TV show.
The Office,
I think. Is it from The Office?
It is from The Office. Yeah.
It's one-time use.
Oh, yeah. It's a one-time use.
What's crazy about how you used to go take your film and get it developed, and they would, like, leave it in like a shelf and like the A to D's. You go to that section of your name. Like, but you could just go. Anybody could have gone and grabbed
your
photos.
Other pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there was no policing.
I worked in a photo lab developing pictures like that for an Eckerd's.
Oh, did you ever Eckerd's. Have? A, did you ever yeah. have photos where you're like, oh, this is.
It, yes, because before you popped out the cell phone. The fathers in the, when your wife's having a baby, would take the pictures right there. So they made sure they'd go get them developed.
So you saw all
of you had to. Yeah, you had to.
Oh, my God.
Those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
Sounds like it. This actually reminds me of
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I have a similar type of heartbreak in terms of like, oh man, you take a picture and there's no film in the camera. It was, I can't remember the year Mark Martin was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I want to say it was 2017, my memory's correct. And I interviewed him on the red carpet. And we go through the whole thing, and then we realize that the microphone was off.
Oh, man.
And so I'm talking just to Mark Martin, him. Just completely muted.
I did that once. I was interning while I was at Ohio State, and we were at media day, and I was interviewing a bunch of players. And I get back to the station, and apparently you had to hit the record button twice. And I had like
what?
Yeah, it was weird. But
never heard that.
So all these interviews that we had with the football players was
brutal.
Yep,
man, that is tough. Okay, let's go to tweet number three, Travis. You want to read this one?
Yeah, from Strong 1969. On pit road at Watkins Glen, waiting in line for a port-a-john. Guy says, can I cut in front of you? I was turning around to say no. It was Carl Edwards. Had to get back to car.
Could you imagine that?
So wait. When you realize it's Carl Edwards, did he still let him go? Or he's like, no, I still have priority here.
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
I bet he let him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But man, it depends on how bad you have to go.
So I was, and apparently this is a thing, and being a good PR rep, you have to scout out where the best bathrooms are on pit road at every single track. And, I mean, you see it. I was at the Indianapolis 500 just a week and a half ago. I was there. I was right at the driver intro stage. They let all the drivers go, and there is a mad scurry towards the pagoda for all the drivers to get one last bathroom stop. I mean, like, they were literally... It was the race before the race. Some guys were running. Others, like, knew exactly where to go, like, so they didn't have to wait for the bathroom so they could be the first ones. I mean, who would have thought that's a thing, too? I mean, but you think about it, like, yeah you got to find the porta-potty right before you go drive for 3 hours.
Yeah.
At least if you let him cut, like, he's not going to be in there for 5 minutes.
You hope?
I mean, if he is, then he's going to miss the race,
The race
though.
Is over, yeah.
Like,
well... Yeah.
But, like, that's got to be kind of a bummer. Like, you want to kind of chat it up with them, and you can't.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I know. I think I'm going to stick my guns, and I got to go. Okay. If I've been sitting in line too.
Hey, I respect it, man.
It's one thing if, like, we're walking up at the same time.
Hopefully, if you ask to cut in front of somebody, they're a fan of you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure Carl Edwards probably didn't make a whole lot of enemies.
He watches this, though. So if you ever have to cut in front of Carl Edwards, just ask him. He'll be like, oh, my gosh, it's Travis Rockhold.
So Denny should not go to where there's a line because he may not be allowed to cut.
No, Denny probably wouldn't cut.
Denny should knock at the porta potty door.
Yeah,
that's not his fault. The door was not locked.
That's true.
No, I'm saying he should knock.
Yeah.
Why?
The door could have avoided the whole Brad Keselowski.
Who knocks at a? Nobody knocks at a porta potty.
Maybe you should.
I don't know. Maybe that should be a thing we start.
But there's a lock on the door.
Yeah. No, I know Brad's at fault, but I'm just saying.
I just picture
Micah was scarred with having to develop all those pictures. I'm sure Denny's gonna probably start double checking before he enters any porta potty.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't knock at a porta potty.
That's funny. All right.
All right, let's see. Tweet number 4 here from Brandon White, the original B-dub. Wow, good for him. Wait. That's awesome.
He's the restaurant?
At Michigan, my buddy really wanted to meet Rusty somehow. A few hours later, he walks right by us. Buddy froze up, and all he could muster was screaming, "Two!" while holding up two fingers. Rusty smiled, gave him a thumbs up. My buddy just hung his head and said, "I puckered, man."
Oh, man.
That's tough.
What would be the funniest driver to, like, just scream their number out at them?
Oh.
Like, 99, Suarez. Yeah.
Well, I bet you that happens a lot.
Yeah, probably.
For a lot of the, like, maybe the mid-pack guys, like, maybe you know them by number, but you don't know them by name. Although, I feel like that would be reversed.
I think it's got to be where you know who they are, but you just got nervous because you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
That would be tough.
Gosh.
Because you know your buddy's not going
to. Two might be the funniest. Like, that's just so funny to
Hearing this story, it definitely is pretty funny.
That is funny.
Like, if I'm that guy's friend, I'm not letting him forget that moment that he had a chance to meet Rusty and he just.
Yeah. He's definitely not letting him forget.
Remember that one time we met
two? He tweeted it at us.
Yeah.
You should have tagged him.
That was so funny.
Yeah. Well, the original B-dub. Yeah. He's going to have to follow up to see who that was.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, moving on to tweet number 5 here. This is from Dakota Jacobs, and he says, "I watched an adult spill a full beer on his son while fumbling a diecast for Jeff Gordon to autograph. Jeff just starts laughing, looks at the kid, and says, 'Son, that's why you don't start drinking.' That would be a marquee memory for me for the rest of my life." That is phenomenal.
I want to know how old the kid was.
He had to be short enough to get spilled on. So, under 10 years old, I would say.
I mean, it could have been, but either way, that kid's just got to, like, smell like beer the rest of the day.
His nickname definitely has to be, like, Bud.
You know how hard.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, I got to give Jeff Gordon credit in this situation. You know how hard it is to come up with just a killer one-liner on the spot? And I feel like a lot of these drivers do that. Just interacting with so many people, they just, man, can probably rattle off some just, like, quick, funny little comments. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
That's a good one. I think that's up there for one of my favorites so
far. That's my favorite so far.
Well, it's really how far are you willing to go? I just read a story at like the Phillies baseball game where a dad was going for a foul ball with a kid in his hands, and basically just his kid fell straight to the ground as he tried to catch the foul ball, and he missed it, and the kid's face was destroyed.
Yeah. The lengths people go to for a foul ball. I've seen people holding like infants almost.
Even an opposing team foul ball, like, you don't care. You're just trying to get a souvenir.
People lose all just ability to operate normal for just the cheapest souvenir.
I know.
A baseball hit by a player they won't even remember who hit it. It's impressive. That's what sports does to people.
That's funny.
I'm reading a new one that came in, and Dalton, you showed it to me. Yeah. Do you want me to read it?
You go for it.
Okay, so this one comes in from our buddy NASCAR Chasm. Love that guy.
I don't know how he do it all on his own?
Man,
does he have a team?
No, it is just he is hilarious.
He's an
himself.
Inspiration to guys like me. The way he can, that's just phenomenal.
Shout out to you, man. So we don't have this is a late one, so we don't have the graphics
there's no graphic.
So I will read it. I was on pit road at Michigan several years ago before the race. I'm walking and I see Carl Edwards coming toward me. walking in the opposite direction. I see him, he sees me, and they've met before. I go for a handshake, he goes for a fist bump. We both see the issue and try to correct it. He starts opening his hand for a handshake, I start closing mine for a fist bump, and at that part, our hands meet. I basically wind up tickling Carl Edwards' palm. That's what happened. On his way to the car, he does not stop walking, but he does turn around to say, "Ha, that was weird," then disappears into the crowd. He retired that year. That was my last interaction with Carl.
That's fantastic.
So if you want to know the real reason, Carl Edwards retired.
It's like, I can't do these handshakes
anymore. NASCAR chasm.
Yeah.
I met Chase Elliott last year in Nashville, and I went for like the bro handshake, and he went for the I have a job handshake, and fingers were just crossed, and it was awful, and my one interaction with Chase.
Are we able to punch in on this camera right here? Is that possible, James? Yes or no? Maybe not. Oh, he's got to go.
No,
he's
got to go. Just stay seated, James. Stay seated, James.
It's fine. So I was just going to show this video.
Get up and walk in front of that.
And no, it's fine. Go to our Dirty Mo Media YouTube page.
There you go.
Watch the Man on the Street video that we did. And James is there, and he saw this whole interaction. But with Paddle Award right at the end, I went to go thank him for taking the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can see it, but I just... Man, I get completely snubbed with the handshake.
Oh, that was good.
Gosh.
And that was tough. And then you can kind of see it. I don't really know what to do. I go for the handshake, and he just, like, he doesn't see it and walks away.
Yep.
So then I go immediately to, like, scratching my chin. Like, I had to scratch my chin. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
It was tough.
That was my biggest fear when I started working here, was having to shake people's hands and missing. And so
that,
like,
was your big, that was really? Your fear.
Oh, yeah.
That was your fear.
That was my biggest fear. I was like, I know I can do my job. I know everything else, but like the moment I have to like shake Mike's hand or Dale's hand or whoever, like I just didn't want to mess it up.
So
everything's been great so far.
That's where now, you know, one of the upsides of COVID now is like brought the fist pump back and you walk by and like,
yeah.
When I get done getting my hair cut,
I like the fist pump. I think I go for a fist pump.
I'm a handshake guy. I love a good
handshake. But what kind of handshake? You're trying to read
a
the person's
up handshake.
But you're trying to read. Do you go? Are you going? What kind of
no,
dap
I never
up are you
lead
given?
With like, this, unless I know them personally and they're under.
But still, you're trying to read, and then
old.
It's like, are you going to bring it in for the half hug? Is it the full hug? Are you going to back out after just the handshake? There's so much reading going into the handshake.
It's either handshake or full commitment, like dap
like
and hug.
Yeah.
Where it's like sometimes just like, you know, boom.
Yeah, I mean there's nothing wrong with that. It's not very intimate. Like I would do that to someone, you know. Ordered the same meal at McDonald's as me. Hey, yeah, quarter pounder.
I'm just saying. The fist pot, man.
You interacting with the people at McDonald's?
Yeah.
What do you go?
I
quarter
also
pounder cheese. Let me give you a hug. See,
yeah. The world would be a better place if we all did that.
McFlurry Brothers. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if the machine's not broken, I'm dapping the person up at McDonald's.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, man. I'm going to give you a hug, brother. Yeah.
Man.
All right. So tweet number six here.
Tweet number six.
From Jordan Cimini.
Cimini, yep.
Cimini.
Are you Echo here?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Back in 2009, I was getting an autograph from Kyle Busch at Nashville Super Speedway. I told him I was his biggest fan, but I had a Brad Keselowski Nashville win shirt on when I said that. Let's say KFB roasted me for that. Hope I can meet him again someday with the right merch on.
That's unfortunate.
I've actually had a similar. I was at a Ohio State game at Indiana with my uncle, who's an Indiana fan, and obviously I'm a Ohio State fan. But afterwards, they had players on the court signing autographs, and my two cousins were Indiana fans. And so I wanted to get my ticket signed by my one cousin's favorite player. So I'm standing in line politely, and I get up there, and the guy's name was Noah Vonleh, who's in the NBA now. And he's like, "Really, bro?" And I'm like, "Hey, I'm like 23, 24. So I'm like older than him. I'm like, "Hey, this is not for me. It's for like my 12-year-old cousin." Like, he was nice enough and had fun with it and gave me the autograph on my ticket to give to my cousin. But there was like that, like 5 seconds of like, oh my gosh, like we're in the wrong merch.
I don't think I've been in that situation before.
I don't think I have either necessarily.
But
I don't know.
But NASCAR,
I could
makes
imagine the awkwardness that comes with,
especially NASCAR,
like
where like odds are you're gonna wear your driver, but that doesn't mean you hate the other drivers, and you might want, like, where other sports, if you're going to a Hornets game, you know, your odds are you're going to be wearing horns. So, like, it's just NASCAR opened yourself up for
this. I do have a pet peeve
Oh, let's hear it.
And I saw this at Fan Day. I saw this when Ryan Blaney was here. He came in and there was a couple fans outside and someone came up to him and was like, "Hey, I know it's a Chase Elliott hat, but can you sign this?"
Oh, no, can't sign that.
And I was like, "You can't, that's, no." Like,
that
I'm sorry,
just doesn't,
it just
match.
Doesn't, no, you don't, no. No.
Yeah.
You can't do that. I'm sorry. Yeah, hey, Brad Pitt, can you sign my Ronald McDonald hat? Like, it just, it's dumb. I don't think that works.
Wait, so you have
did
a,
he sign it?
I'm big.
So wait, yeah, you have
sure
a
Blaney
you
did.
You have a Ronald McDonald
nice guy.
Hat?
Yeah, Blaney was a nice guy, yeah.
You have a Ronald McDonald hat?
No, I don't.
And a Brad Pitt hat?
I wish I.
I love how you put those
yeah,
two together.
I don't know.
Did,
I just tried to.
Where did that
pull.
Come from?
Listen, this is a thing with me. I my metaphors sometimes they hit hard and sometimes they don't. I don't know. So, anyways, if you have a Ronald McDonald, I would love to get it signed by Brad Pitt. all right. Andrew?
Okay. Tweet seven.
Tweet
oh
se-
man,
tweet,
I like
tweet
it.
Seven.
I like this one a lot. Yes. It's from this guy.
It's from
I
this,
love
this,
from
guy.
This
guy.
This guy. It's quite literally this guy. I once met Bubba after I had a couple too many brewskis. Told him he was an inspiration and to wreck the 22. He then told me to never call him back. Oh, wait, so this was a phone call. His number was given to me by one of his old crew members at a bar in Texas in 2020.
Man.
Wow.
That is so funny.
That is hilarious.
Hey, do me a favor. Never call
answered.
Me back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think on the screen next is Bubba's phone number. Do we have that
yeah,
graphic available? Oh, no. We didn't make that one.
Yeah.
If I'm Bubba, I want to know, like, how you got my number. Like, who from my crew gave out
oh,
my number?
Oh, that guy definitely got fired.
We were talking about on DBC, because, you know, we're trying to make a reaction theater hotline, like a phone number to call.
Yep.
And we were talking, what if we pranked Brett and we made it... his phone number, mm-hmm. just straight up. Like, if you need a reaction theater call, just call Brett directly.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
I always feel
I don't want any more of these.
Literally reach yeah. Brett.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The worst is when an athlete's phone number makes it out there, like, before a big game, and people are calling and they can't sleep. And, like, J.J. Redick in college had, like, 10 numbers that he went through because fans would get a hold of his cell phone number.
That's
and
crazy.
Call them and blow it up, and you just have to get a new number.
Gosh, that is so funny. Like, having the courage, you know, you get your liquid courage in, you're like, I'm going to call Bubba, you know, and you call him, and he just goes, don't ever call me back.
Yeah, I want to
block number immediately.
I want to know what he thought was the best, like, an ideal, how did this go down in his mind? What is the best?
That's why he said he had a few too many brewskis.
Yeah, he had probably at least 12.
Yeah,
12?
I mean,
definitely a few too many.
If I had six, I'm not calling... A celebrity, like,
how
dude,
many?
I wouldn't call him sober. Like, nope. Yeah.
How
of
many,
course not sober,
how
but
many
I'm saying, like, even, like,
drink Travis to replicate what this guy did. Quite literally, that's his name, this guy.
I'd have to be hammered.
Yeah.
How many Bojangles hard teas?
Yeah.
They are, I'll tell you in a second once
probably
I find
what,
it.
5%?
I would say so. I don't know. It's on there somewhere.
I would take a lot.
It would take a lot and probably some bad influences around you, too, right?
I have a few numbers on my phone, and I've had to, like, my friends in college have tried to, or, like, after, tried to get my phone. I'm like, no.
Who's the who's the most famous person in your phone?
If
you don't mind sharing. Mine's real obvious.
I mean, not counting Dale.
Oh, well, that's mine.
I know I have Baker.
Mayfield?
Oh, that's cool. Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. I don't know if I have Nick Saban. I don't have Sabins anymore.
Nick Saban's way, I'd say that's way over Baker.
Oh, why can't I think of his name right now?
Mike Davis.
Let's see. John Gruden, do I have his? No. I lost some numbers. Oh, I do have John Gruden's.
There you go. John Gruden. That's a good
one.
Let's call him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got
Jimmy? I would have to say off the top of my head, Jimmy.
Can we call him and get an update from Lamont?
From Lamont, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's asleep.
Yeah, he probably is.
We're 6 hours ahead. It's 10.
No, he's awake.
You're right. It is Jimmy.
He's probably drinking
Jimmy
a nice
sleep.
Fine
he's
wine. He's probably drinking a fine wine with the team. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see the pit stop that they had today?
Yeah, they won.
So they got.
That's awesome.
They got in their class. They had the fastest, and they had the fifth fastest overall, and the only car to have Emmanuel Jack.
Yep.
Wow.
Pretty awesome.
I like that.
10.9
French people over there are losing their mind. They're like, look at this. This guy.
I did see, who was it? I think it was either Mike Ford or Josh Hamilton. One of them is there, and the autograph line for the NASCAR Garage 56 is just the longest one.
That's
there.
Awesome. That's
so their presence has definitely been made.
I also love
cool.
how they NASCAR hasn't changed the pit crews and how it's changed. Where like F1, there's 13 people out there.
Yeah.
And they, you know, one little move and they're
I
done.
I could be on an F1 pit crew.
Yeah. Hey, you are the backup Jackman for Butterbean.
I don't know if you could be an F1. I think.
Could you?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's fair. Could I?
Be a backup Jackman or just straight? Wait, don't they jack the cars?
Yeah, that's
themselves?
What I'm saying. I don't think you could be a tire changer.
Isn't there literally a button that the driver does to jack the car?
There is the Formula F1.
They've got
the front.
What about
the
an IndyCar?
They've got like the little.
They've got the hydraulic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing the driver does, right?
Yeah.
So I could be an IndyCar Jackman.
Yeah. We all are IndyCar Jackman, pretty much. All right. Let's. We got off
tweet eight.
All right. This is from Tom. Tom says, Larson was at his dirt merch trailer signing autographs. I got there a little late. Kyle was about to leave. Crowd had already left. I was the next in line. Kyle looked at me and goes, what can I get you? He took my money, made change, handed me a $5, of course. Signed everything and fist bumped me. Unbelievable experience. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat.
First of all, fist bump.
Fist bump, I
fist
know.
Fist bump. Yes. Listen.
Also, Kyle's like working the register and everything.
Kyle does it all, man. He's probably the fastest register casher in the whole world, too.
So I've never, regretfully, I would love to get to one. I haven't been to a dirt race, but I feel like this is the type of community atmosphere that you would get.
Yeah. There's Millbridge right down the road. You can go to Millbridge.
Who goes to Millbridge again?
I got a drink now.
So, yeah, hold on. Yeah,
we got a drink.
Drink for Millbridge, everybody. That's pretty neat.
That's a cool story. You know, that's a nice one to have in the pocket.
Yeah. No. This was when? Did it say the year?
Didn't say the year.
Okay. See, so handed him a $5. Maybe or maybe not. That was
a coincidence.
I would say it's probably it was Hendrick.
I've got an idea for Larson. He should start a thing where he signs people's $5 bills.
Would that increase the value, you think?
I think so.
It's worth $6.
Yeah, at least. Okay, there you go.
At minimum,
it's a $6 bill.
At minimum, that autograph will always be worth $5.
So $10.
He should start signing $5 bills. Make that his thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We've got some ideas.
You're welcome, Kyle.
Moving on to tweet.
Tweet number 9.
This comes from Mike Sowers 1. When working at DEI, walking between buildings one day, Biggie is driving across the parking lot in an old Chevy truck that digs up trees with a pretty big tree in tow. He told me he saw it up the street and liked it, so we went and got it.
Dang.
Hashtag miss.
Yeah. I want to know what kind of Chevy truck is one that is categorized as one that...
They have these like big shovel-looking things that like rip a tree out of a ground and replant it.
But I like that, like, just in his mind. I like that one. I'm going to go get it.
Dale Earnhardt story.
That's cool.
He's just like, yep, that one will do. I'm just going to rip it out of the ground. And it's so cool to think about just him driving around an old beat-up pickup truck just ripping trees out of the ground.
This is quite literally an unearthed Dale Earnhardt story.
Exactly.
Come on, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
He was
thought of that on the spot. Micah. Yeah, he's giving the
it was all right. Micah,
pretty,
Micah, don't.
It was all right. Pretty good. He didn't say it was great. It was pretty good.
Okay, where are we going now?
Tweet 10.
Tweet 10.
I love this
one. Oh, yeah, this one's pretty simple, straight to the point here. Tweet 10. I waved at Chase Elliott, and he didn't wave back. Do you think there was... What am I looking for here? Do you think there was intention behind that one?
We're gonna have to check the SMT.
I think we're gonna have to check the SMT data on Chase Elliott's eyesight.
I'm sure he was just busy. Didn't see you. I'm sure Chase is a nice guy. I've met him. Chase is a nice guy.
I think this tweet from Chance Cooper. It was just so punctual. It's just to the point.
It was perfect comedy.
It was funny.
Yeah. I wish I would have waved at Chase. He didn't wave back instead of the awkward handshake that I had.
Yeah,
with
there
him.
You go.
So it could have been worse. Chance.
That is funny. Are we going to cut 11 and move on to 12?
Go to 12.
I say we go to 12.
All right. Tweet number 12. This is
Jack.
From
it's got a picture,
Jack,
too.
And he said, met Ross Chastain in a bathroom at Dover.
in a bathroom. So who was it who met? Someone met Carl Edwards outside a porta potty. Now we're going inside.
There's another one.
The scene of the crime. Inside the bathroom. To meet Ross Chastain. That's like, definitely an interesting place.
Listen, I get that you're going to run into... There's a chance that you run into a celebrity at a bathroom. What you do when you see a celebrity in the bathroom is the same thing when you see a random person. You go to the restroom, you wash your hands, and you leave. Yeah. And then afterwards, when you leave the area...
Catch them outside
If you want to catch them out, yes. You do not talk to him inside,
you definitely do
not ask him for a photo.
Let me ask you, you think in the bathroom, was it a fist bump or a handshake?
God, I hope it was a fist bump. Do you think they were in the same stall or what?
Yeah. What? No.
and the worst part is if Ross doesn't, then sometimes, you know, celebrities.
It's got to be.
Then it becomes a thing where, oh, he was mean. I'm like, well, yeah, you're in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Your phobia coming here was the handshaking.
Yep.
This one's mine that has to do with shaking hands. I feel like whenever I go to the bathroom, I wash my hands, and you know, your hands are always going to be a little bit damp
right
after you wash your hands. And I feel like every time I'm in a public setting, I go use the bathroom. As soon as I leave, I meet someone or see someone that I haven't seen yet, and there's a handshake incoming.
Mm.
Like every time.
Have you?
And I'm to the point where I'm like, hey, I just washed my hands, they're a little wet. Like,
have you thought about just
I feel like even saying that
grab
weird.
A little more paper towel. Like,
I would rather you say that though. Like, I'd rather you say, hey, I just washed my hands. They're a little wet.
Like, you got to explain why your hands are wet.
Yeah, but part of me is like, is he making that up? And that's like, he's saying that, but it's not true. Yeah.
Why would I make something like that up?
Well, why would you? Like, it's just a weird, I don't know.
Anyway. All right.
Sorry, I just pissed on my hands.
Hope you don't mind. It's sterile. All right. Travis, once you get it gathered up over there, why don't you read the next one?
Tweet 13.
Well, let me decide if I want to read tweet 13.
I don't think you want to.
That's a good one.
I don't read it.
All right.
From Bobby LaPierre.
Oh, he's French.
Nice.
Lama.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Oh, gosh.
I saw Clint Bowyer on pit road talking to a couple of people, a guy and a girl. So I slowly walked up and waited patiently. When they were done talking, I asked if I could get a picture as soon as I walked up. Clint leaned over and asked, were you talking to me or the girl?
I could so see him doing that. Yeah, are you talking to me or the girl? I could so see that.
Man, I feel like anytime anybody interacts with Clint Bowyer anywhere, man, it is a funny interaction.
Mm.
I probably have.
Never met him.
Really? You would like.
I've met Dale.
One person.
Denny. Chase. And Blaney. I think that might be it.
Okay,
well. Out of the field. We need to get you.
We should get you like a little like poster that you can put on your wall that like uncovers the people that. Yeah.
One of my favorite Clint Bowyer interactions that I have. I was 12. I think I was 12 years old. I was at the.
So last week?
Yes, last week. I was at the Charlotte Motor Speedway preseason media tour. And that's when I was, you know, just that old little kid reporter. And this was my second or third time interviewing Clint. So I had some sort of rapport with him. Like, he knew who I was and obviously knew who he was. And I wrote my notes down on a sheet of paper. And I walk up with my notes and he takes them away from me. He's like, let's see how good you are. So I, like, go through the whole interview. And then right at the very end, he's like, did my PR person set you up for this? Like, you know, you're just barging in, like, doing this interview. And I told him just straight up, and, like, I didn't even want to do this interview in the first place. And then everybody just, like, everyone lost it.
Yeah, I had to do this one.
Yeah, I had to do this one. Whatever. Had to talk to Clint.
Yeah.
No, talking to Clint every time is it's a good time.
He said when we were at Wilkesboro, he was like, oh, you don't even have your dad filming for
no,
you anymore.
Yeah, funny. Yeah, he says that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we at?
You
two more.
Are going with tweet 14.
Tweet 14. Is that Boger?
I hope it's Boger. Yeah, not
McBoger.
Yeah.
I went to my first Daytona 500, and David Gilliland was staying in the same condo property as I was. I was riding up the elevator with him. I go, I swear I know you. You're Travis Quappel, right? He goes, David Gilliland, nice to meet you.
You, Travis Quappel. Yeah, that's it.
You know what that makes me think of is, have you ever seen the Tony Hawk tweets?
Yes.
Tony Hawk's going through TSA and they're like, Tony Hawk, like, oh.
Like the skateboard.
And he's like, yeah, yep. Nice to meet you.
And they're like, checking a skateboard.
They don't get, yeah.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
He might be the most, like, unassuming, like, star.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
What an awesome guy. I would love to see, meet him and played his video game a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Played the Tony Hawk video games a lot.
Lots.
Sure. Man, that is so funny. I could just see any drivers being like, yep, David Gilliland, nice to meet you.
I was talking with someone all these years back at Michigan. I think it was Alex Bowman who was telling me And this was kind of when he was still a little bit newer, not as well known. Mm-hmm. And he would just like sign for Will. I think it was William Byron. Because I think he was telling me how he kept getting confused for William Byron, or it was vice versa. And it came to a point where he was just starting to sign for William.
Yeah.
And I always find those stories.
How many William Byron autographs are out there on eBay that were actually signed by Alex Bowman?
Well, think about it. For NASCAR drivers, sometimes without their fire suit on and the sponsors or a hat,
it can be hard.
They
could be pretty unassuming.
I understand that. Same, like,
definitely.
Football players sometimes get confused too because you're just used to seeing them with the jersey and the helmet on, so you don't know their faces. It's not like NBA players are easier to recognize.
Yeah.
All right, we're down to one more. I love this one.
All right.
This one's great. This is from Facebook.
Tweet 15.
Who wants to read it?
I got it.
You got it.
All right, tweet 15.
Wait, we didn't even give this guy a name?
I guess it's not even tweet 15. It's
technically Facebook.
Facebook.
I'm going to find his name. You read 15. It. You read it, and I'll find his name.
All right. This is, I met Richard Petty, stopped on the side of the road near Charlotte Motor Speedway, and ended up giving us detailed directions on how to get from there to Bristol. Yeah, you're going to go out here.
From Charlotte, yeah.
Hit 85. You're going to take 40. Yeah, exactly. Let me write this down. Actually, I'll just drive you there.
That is impressive.
That's very cool.
I bet he can still do it today. Heck, I did just move here, but I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't even be able to give you directions to Charlotte Motor Speedway from here.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know how to get to work?
Yeah, I do. I do. I take 77. Wait, is 85? Would you take 85 to Concord?
No. You take 77 to 73, which is a road,
literally
not a
only
highway.
Know 77.
Okay.
I can
73 is like right around where you live, so
I can get to work and back without GPS. After that,
it's so weird.
Yeah, me too.
It's so weird because I've lived here my
entire
life.
You're cheating.
I could close my eyes and get to the speedway.
Do it. Close your eyes.
All right. You have to just make sure I don't hit anything.
No, close your eyes and drive.
I'll do it. Okay. Try it one day. Dirty Mo live. Live in the car driving blind.
Speaking of William Byron, you mentioned earlier, he's got a big weekend coming up.
Yeah, this is
him and.
He better get his act together.
All right, so I'm reading some of the YouTube comments too. Because people are sharing. Sorry, wait, did I just interrupt
you?
Yeah. Go.
So I was saying that Byron and Brad Keselowski face off for the first ever Denny Hamlin Bracket Challenge Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some tweeting going on, and it looks like the winner will be coming on Action Detrimental at some point. Byron put out some stipulations. He needs it after the break.
He's got a rider.
Probably vacation or something.
Yeah.
Both have agreed to come on. Brad also asked Dale if he could give him some Sun Drop as a gift.
Only if he brings sweet rolls.
But I think Brad was a 9 seed, and I forget what Byron was. But
Byron was a 2 seed, I think.
Interesting how it's played out.
I think it's hilarious how Brad limped around the track and still
won. Backdoor cover if there's ever been one in NASCAR. Bubba was cruising to a victory, and then his brake rotor failed. 2311 was just both are brake rotors.
Yep. What you got for us?
Oh yeah. So now go ahead, Kurt.
I have a few good ones actually.
All right.
Let me pull them up because I actually screenshotted them. Give me like 30 minutes.
All right. I'll tell a story real quick while you're doing that. So, I have a story about meeting a celebrity, not a NASCAR driver.
Okay.
So I went to NC State University. Another famous person that went there. Not another. A famous person that went there is Scotty McCreery.
Oh yeah.
So
this is it.
Yeah, is it. This is now. we are at the football game. We are tailgating or whatever, and then we go inside. It's probably the third quarter. A lot of people like to leave after halftime. I see Scotty McCreery walking up the stadium stands to get out. I am on the end of my row, and all of a sudden something happens. He trips and falls directly into me, and I catch him. This guy's not a very big guy, so I kind of was like, oh, I gotcha. And he stands up. He was obviously inebriated, having a good time at the football game, and he goes, thanks, buddy, and pats my arm and keeps on walking.
Did you ask him for 5 more minutes?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there it is.
We were in a water tower town.
That was good.
Yeah.
All right.
We can do this all
day. This is from the YouTube chat. Oh, man, I love this one. Hold on. I'll go because this is kind of similar. Nate says, I grabbed toilet paper off the high shelf at Target in Mooresville because Jamie McMurray couldn't reach it.
That's the best one. That is hands down the best
that
one.
That one's awesome, right?
That's good.
That's hilarious.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you for
Nate,
that.
Nate, that's awesome. I would probably be in the same boat asking you for that favor because I think I'm about the same height as Jamie McMurray.
Yeah, no.
I like this one. This is another Clint Boyer. This one's from Justin. I asked Clint at Richmond if he would sign my shirt, and I guess he was getting autographs all day on this T-shirt. I had a small spot at the bottom of my shirt, and he said, I'm definitely not signing anywhere near down there.
That's ridiculous.
Gosh, you got to love Clint Boyer, right? I'm going to try and keep my eyes peeled for some other ones, but man, those are two good ones. I love the Jamie McMurray one. That one's pretty darn good.
I think that's my favorite one.
Here's one about our boss.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Mike Davis?
No, the other one. Dale Jr. was getting swamped at Bristol. My dad was a big guy and was walking with him, trying to get an autograph from my mom. Mike Davis was helping Dale. It was about Mike. Mike Davis was helping Dale, but ended up either getting pushed or tripped. I guess Mike fell.
Oh, no.
And Dale started laughing and kept walking and signed the card.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Mike. I've read that before I started. So,
before you realized what
yeah,
happened?
I realized halfway
man,
through.
Man, you're just going.
You know, it
going
happens.
For it.
It happens.
Mike, we're thinking about you.
Yeah.
Also thinking about Alex Tim.
He's watching from above.
He's watching from above.
Well, quite literally. He's editing upstairs. Yeah. He's not dead.
So what else we got before we wrap this puppy up?
I think those are all the tweets that we saw. But, man, I think this we could do again.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We could definitely do,
we'll do
something
this
like this again. Because it was fun to hear these stories. And even I think some of the best ones actually came from the YouTube chat.
Mm, definitely. So we'll do. We'll make sure to tee that up next time for people in the YouTube chat to be a little bit more involved. Andrew, if you read any more in the next 10 seconds, go ahead and shout them out. But no, this has been really fun. I think this was a great idea that we came up with.
Yeah.
Do some hashtags in the future.
We mentioned the pods that we had out already. We also Dirty Mo Dough coming up later this week. Steve he's on his family vacation, so he's over, I don't know, London somewhere. He's going to do the episode from. One more week and then the off week, and then he takes over with NBC. But yeah, we Chop and Russ will be in studio again.
Nice.
And I think with the bracket challenge, if I'm correct, we'll have to double check. But we made a bet that whoever won got to pick the location for dinner. The loser had to buy it. And I think Chopper is going to be the loser.
Who's going to be the winner?
I think Russ or Steve. I was ahead of Chopper, but I was out of picks. And I want to say both of them had Byron. I got to double check.
Gotcha.
But I'm just happy that I don't have to buy dinner.
Yeah, that would have been, you guys would have had to go to McDonald's for the third time. We're going to mention it.
Yeah. So to recap, this week we've got Business and Motorsports, Joe Mattis. I'm really excited to hear that one.
Yeah.
I've not heard that yet. Wow.
I was shocked at where that came from.
I did not. There was a projectile coming my way.
If you play it back, I jumped.
Yeah. DBC, we had Graham Smith. Action's Detrimental with that guy, Denny Hamlin, Dirty Mo Dough. And, I got to do the shameless plug.
Yeah.
Next Level with Mario Andretti. We're going to
talk
some more
that's
stuff.
That's awesome what you
which
did.
Which has been awesome. That has been, that's been my favorite.
You, James,
so
Dustin
far.
Crushed it up there.
Yes.
Awesome stuff. Like, I was already excited about with it, but and I knew about it. But when the stuff came out, the things, like, there's stuff that he's never talked about that at least I haven't heard.
Yeah.
It was interesting to hear.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we got 2.5 hours, and the goal is we're going to cut the highlights. We're going to cut the greatest stories, put them on YouTube. But honestly, like, that is hard for me to have to narrow down to the best stuff because I feel like all of that conversation, I mean, it just flowed. I mean, honestly, we were 2 hours in, and it was our time to leave the museum, head out to the front straightaway to do a little bit more. I'm like, oh my God, that was the fastest 2 hours.
I have a question. What was it like to get down on your knees and kiss the bricks?
That was cool. And by the way, that was Mario's idea. So, and I guess because he's never gotten the opportunity to kiss the bricks, and that was right at the end of the interview, and he's like, well, there's only one way to end this, right? And I'm like, how? He's like, we got to kiss the bricks. So I'm like, heck yeah.
We've got.
He did say before he kissed the bricks, don't worry, it's sanitized.
So Dalton has a brick that he won for the milk tasting upstairs. If you want to compare, I think we could set up where you could kiss that brick too. It's not sanitized in any way.
No, his name's Bricky Stenhouse Jr.
The name is Bricky Stenhouse.
Yeah. I was going to go with Bricky Rudd, but I like Bricky Stenhouse Rudd. Jr.
Dang.
Yeah. But yeah, we got a brick upstairs. We did when you guys were gone for the Indy 500.
I was sad I missed that one. That one looked fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Real quick, though, the next level, we've got the podcast is out. So if you want to hear the entire conversation, the entire 2.5, just about, we're going to be posting it in episodes, so you'll be able to hear the entire conversation. Everything from Indianapolis is in those podcast feeds.
That's awesome.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. You know, follow us on social media at Dirty Mo Media across all platforms. Twitter, Instagram,
right, this is getting
dangerous. TikTok. You know, we're going to have to stop before somebody gets upset. Follow us on social media, buy our merch, listen to our podcasts, and All right, let's cut this before it gets out of hand.
See y'all.
See y'all.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.